Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, welcome to another epic episode of the Von Wehhunt Show. I broadcast nationwide and around the world from my mountain stronghold. Epic episode 74 tonight. The star date of October 28th, 2021. On the eve almost of Halloween, that hollow day. Is fast coming up this weekend. America, as it is always intended for ourselves and our posterity. They say each week on the radio, we are a world at war. Proud of my country, we will stand shoulder to shoulder with our friends and real allies. There's no such thing in life as too many Labradors, guns, or motorcycles, as one man said. One life to live. That's all we have, my fellow Americans and nationalists. And we all know that Trump won the election. But in America today, we know that it's all about optics, because it's all about power and the illusion of power and how things look. On TV, right? Nothing more. Well, we have been watching the news and, of course, worldwide. The island of La Palma, they say, is going to blow into the Atlantic Ocean. And it might, again, might create a mega tsunami on the eastern seaboard on the east coast of these United States. So if you're on the east coast, be prepared for anything. And this is a crazy story, but I've been watching this volcano for the last few weeks now, and every day it's looking more and more serious. And speaking of serious, we've had 22 days and counting of high gas prices. Every day under the Biden administration and regime, gas prices have gone up. So those of you who voted for Joe Biden, you morons, you got what you deserved. And for the rest of us, we are preparing for anything and everything, even for war. For my Viking brothers and sisters, the age of guilt is over. We will not apologize for our great achievements in the world. Our history cannot and will not be used as a weapon against us. We are in debt to no one, no man, and no administration. Our glorious past is a matter of great pride and supreme joy to us. We revel in our friends and family, neighborhood. And whatever we have done in the past, through the pages of history, only inspires us today for even greater deeds for tomorrow. For those who feel that we have wronged them, or that we should bend at the knee, or that we should be guilty for being European ancestry and heritage, for those who feel that we should make accommodations for ourselves, that we should take a back seat to the multiculturalist Marxist agenda. For those who feel that we should suck it up and accept the 2020 fraud election, I would say just be happy in the annals of history that we have gone this far and that we have spared everyone. They should be grateful that they live in a nation that allows them to spout off as they do. For we are afraid of no one. Age of guilt is over. We prepare for war as others are planning war against us. It's very classic in that sense. We are a great nation, can be. But America is a nation within a nation within a nation within another nation. And our enemies around the globe, though they be globalists, whether they be rogue elements of political parties or the UN, foreign nations or foreign terrorist cells, foreign gangs want to do us harm, well, they should be actually fortunate and very lucky that we have spared them and that they are still alive tonight. We have enemies all over the globe. And that is a fact. When I hear someone say the government would never do that, talking about domestic policy, I remind them of MK Ultra, Operation Northwoods, Operation Mockingbird, the poisoning of some cities like St. Louis, allegedly, Operation Jade Helm, and the list goes on and on. Now this week, big news, the CEO of Blackstone warns that power shortages and riots are coming to developed nations soon. They say that propane shortages could leave rural homes without heat this coming winter, in cities too for that matter. At the same time, North Korea orders its military camps to be ready for war, and as they say, to be number one combat order. Sort of their version of DEFCON 4 or 5, as they say over there. China also stated today that the confirmation of U.S. troops in Taiwan could trigger war in the region. Meanwhile, the Taiwan president states very clearly that the island nation must, quote, must defend itself against all threats. As I've told you before, we are a world at war. More flash intel coming into the radio studio tonight. Once again, more military-age males are coming to America as a proxy army. There's a big caravan coming up from my Mexico contacts. Now, the watered-down mainstream media did not report the violent clashes in southeastern Mexico when the caravan fought off with Mexican authorities. There's no body count yet, but that's still pending, of course. In the good book, it says you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. That bears repeating again this week. 1 Corinthians 7:23. The demonic underworld is being made ready for Soros, Gates, Fauci, and many, many others. But right now, the devil is being made to wait for them all, for their lasting eternity of hell, in my view, as he works through them in the present. How about those apples? They are alive on this planet to wreak havoc, and they're doing a good job of it. A few weeks after Ronald Reagan was sworn in, his newly named CIA director, William Casey, made a revealing comment at a meeting of the new cabinet appointees. Casey said, as overheard and recorded by Barbara Honinger, who was present, he said this, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." How about that? Welcome to Church America. This is our Wild West show tonight. Anything goes. And our Halloween special. Welcome to our church session every Thursday night. We're so glad you all made it and are here, present and accounted for. Now, if you want to call the show tonight after our monologue, we're at 563-999-3437. And on this show, if you're a new listener, we talk about current events, geopolitics, history, have great callers, some great music. And here's a story that I thought some of you would like to know, some of you that are new. The Israeli war on the Arab states in 1967. A lot of Americans don't know this because for most Americans, history started with the election of Barack Hussein Obama in 2008. That's a joke. Some Americans know history before that. Most Americans that I talk to simply do not. But if you don't, listen to this. The American president, LBJ, which stands for Lyndon Baines Johnson, is also complicit, in my view, and a traitor to the nation. The attempted sinking of the USS Liberty bears mention. Now, this event occurred on June 8, 1967, in the Israeli war on the Arab states. And our Democrat American president said at the time, LBJ, that he wanted that goddamn ship on the ocean floor. Now, he wanted that to happen for geopolitical foreign policy reasons. I've told you before, they don't give a rat's ass about the common man, marine, soldier, or airman. After the Israeli attack, there were 34 dead Americans and 174 wounded. Most people don't know this, all because Israel, during the 1967 war, wanted to sink the USS Liberty, yes, they wanted to sink it, in order to blame it on Egypt. Remember, to the Israeli military, government, and intelligence, you are goyim, and you are here only to serve Israel in war and peace. That's what they say publicly pretty much all the time. You are viewed as cattle in geopolitical terms that must be slaughtered for their greater glory over you. And, of course, the foreign policy, which is a demonic blood ritual sacrifice. And the Mossad motto is, by way of deception, thou shalt make war, which also translates in Hebrew to, through wise advice, you shall make war. Depending on who you talk to. And they say their newest motto, which is, without deception, a nation falls. It is also worth mentioning that legend has it that all Zionists in the world pray together once a year and make a vow. Now, a Zionist can be anyone. It can be evangelical, anybody that believes in Zionism. We will go down that rabbit hole tonight. But suffice it to say, that once a year they make a vow which can be simply stated as this, that it is okay to lie, trick, steal, or kill anyone, any non-Jewish person, put it that way, in order to preserve the Jewish belief, race, nation, or religion. Now, a lot of people say, I can't believe you said that, but it does bear repeating on the show. But it is interesting. A lot of them say that in various ways. I say this, that on my show, everything is on the table, as I've told you before. Nothing is taboo or off limits. We will talk about things that the watered down corporate mainstream rhino television and radio will never say. For example, even this week, David Chappelle was talking about corporate rhino radio and other media sources about the LGBT movement. And good for him. I am a big fan of the David Chappelle show. It's funny as hell. You got to set yourselves apart, my friends, from this corrupt generation. We are called upon in this world to be saints in this cruel, evil world. You were not made for some reason to, quote, fit in. You were born to stand out. Always remember that. And only real leaders stand out from the crowd. That's why there are not millions of bald eagles, but there are millions of black crows and other birds. Never forget that. And just know that the strongest weapon in the world is truth, because truth is indestructible. That's why we love real history, real truth on the show. World War II never really ended for the world, as we will talk about it on the Von Wehunt radio show, as the same battles rage on yet again throughout the world. Much of that people thought was buried long ago. Old hostilities have risen yet again. The pandemic has changed the world as we know it, but what should never change is our inalienable American rights. Unfortunately, militant Democrat liberals never let a crisis go to waste. State Democrats and the Biden administration have used this crisis as a Trojan horse to trample on our rights, as a means to turn America into a future Marxist state and communist country with full government control, micromanagement, if you will, over our everyday lives. They want full spectrum control over you, what you do, what you spend, who you talk to. How plainer can I make it? They even tell you what they're going to do. It's part of their creed, a motto, and logo. Part of their weird, demonic spirituality. The IRS came out last week and said under Biden that they will stalk your account, any transactions over $600, which would affect every American and the middle class and the poor, because everyone does transactions over $600, i.e. your rent and mortgage, for example, maybe your big car payment. They want to stalk you financially. It's the government that's greedy, not you, the American people. They want more and more of your hard-earned money. Remember, government produces nothing. All they do is spend your hard-earned money. It's all they do. It's all they're good for. But we say defiance, not compliance. Remember, there's many rogue elements in our government. All these think tanks that are Democrat, liberal, or Marxist, they're all out there. You see them every day in the news. They're protected. They have the media on their side and Biden on their side. They're out there in all the media outlets. They hate your ancestors, Mr. and Mrs. America. They hate your history. They hate your culture. They hate your religion. They hate your nation. They especially hate your children. They're trying to get you to have no children, no offspring, especially of European descent. They hate you. It's okay to notice. I'll repeat that. It's okay for you to notice. It's okay to notice the obvious. And you shouldn't care what these people call you, because they're vermin swine anyway. Don't let the turkeys get you down, boys. I've told you that before. Now, one guy wrote the show and said, we as a nation should charge all conspirators who knowingly, maliciously, and treacherously aided and abetted placing a mental incompetent in the presidential office with treason, dereliction of duty, and sedition. They have put our country in peril, he said, and are doing so in union with our country's enemies, both foreign and domestic. Couldn't agree more. Climate change, that you hear talked about all the time, is the attack on Western society and our capitalist system. What they want to usher in via deception is the universal basic income, which will do away with private enterprise, which will foster a, quote, soft type of communism. They will then tell everyone is fair and equitable to all, yada, yada. The usual old Democrat CNN talking points over and over again. Now, there are Americans that say, I've heard them say, well, I could live under communism. They kind of shrug and go, that doesn't sound that bad to me. Those kinds of Americans are morons, and they'll be the first to be executed in any communist takeover. They are the useful idiots of the media, which is the left-wing arm of the Democrat Party. And there is a very vibrant Marxist-communist organization in America today. It's out there. Trust me. And do your own research. It's all out there for you to read. It's all out there for you to discover. It's just amazing what you can find when you put your mind to it. Folks, if you just tuned into the show, I'm glad you're here. We will take calls after the monologue, I promise
you. The Von Wehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehunt, the barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
You damn right. So here's the deal, America. So if you still need a booster shot after being fully vaccinated and testing after having been fully vaccinated yet again, and then you've been maybe hospitalized and you've been fully vaccinated yet again, you've been wearing masks for months and years now, almost, and you've had social distancing and lockdowns, even after you've been, quote, fully vaccinated. And by the way, they keep moving the goalpost on this term. Being fully vaccinated means something different every day if you're Fauci. Now, in other words, they don't want to ever give anyone the title or the rank or title of that you've been fully vaccinated. They never want you to be really fully vaccinated. You've noticed they keep moving the goalposts. So every month, well, that was okay. You've had three or four booster shots plus the COVID shot. Now you need a fifth one. Now you need number six, number seven, number eight, number nine. Booster, 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 booster. It never ends. It goes on and on and on for in perpetuity. You see what I mean? And each booster shot lowers your immunity by many doctors. So if you still think you need another booster shot after all that, then it's time to admit that you've been fully conned, America. You've been fully conned. You bought into the con by Joe Biden and Dr. Mengele Death Fauci, which ties in and segues into my next thought. If we have people in America, there are people with master's degrees that fell hook, line, and sinker for this pandemic charade, the same people that would buy swampland in Florida, the same people that would possibly wire money to Nigerian bankers from their personal bank account. Morons all. We have people with advanced degrees and master's degrees in this country that think they're so smart. The same people who voted for Obama, the same people who voted for Biden. Yet at the same time, the dichotomy is We have high school dropouts that can see right through all the deception of the media. That's why the term being smart, that phrase, isn't measured solely on being, quote, educated by colleges and universities anymore. The term we're going to bring back, we talked about on my show before. There are a lot of, quote, educated fools in America today. Yes, many educated and overeducated fools. We don't suffer fools gladly on this show. True intelligence is about being conscious of the world around you. You can read all the books you want, pass all the tests you want, be book smart, and yet have no street smarts is another way to put it. Sometime the sergeant in the army who's very conscious of the battlefield is more knowledgeable and more intelligent than a second lieutenant officer who's new and green. Think of it that way. Doesn't know the battlefield or the enemy or their tactics yet. A sergeant who has been fighting for months and years knows far more. And that's why when my father went in the military, they told him as young officers, listen to your sergeants. Listen to the men that have been in the service of their country for 20 years. It's a smart officer who listens to the sergeant. You don't have to know it all, and you don't have to be it all, but you can be all you can be, and you'll be a much better officer in the military if you listen to your sergeant at arms. Doesn't mean you have to do what they say. You have checkmate in that category, but you need to at least listen to wise counsel. Because true intelligence is about being conscious of the world around you and knowing how to navigate within it. That is true intelligence. We have many people that are in Washington, D.C., and at New York to D.C., it's called the Beltway, who tout their credentials, their pedigree over flyover country, those poor saps that live out there, between the coasts. Why, they're so smart. They're in the Beltway and you're not. They're so smart. They've taken the vax. They've taken 5 booster shots. And they don't understand why you don't agree with them and why you're not drawing the same conclusions. They feel they're smarter than you, better than you. So why aren't you following them, Mr. and Mrs. America? What's your problem? Well, there's a lot of talk about corralling these people, this 80 to 100 million, put you in FEMA camps, reeducate you, teach you the ways of the Beltway, of the real power in America, as they call it. Well, we'll see about that, and we'll see how well that goes. Shall we? Let them knock door to door. Let them go house to house. Let them go town to town. I don't care how many checkmate Charlies they put up or grids. Word travels fast. And word of mouth is the best advertising that money cannot buy. So they can play all the tricks they want. You start doing crap like that, and you'll get a rude awakening. Because we are conscious of our environment. We are knowledgeable of our battle environment. We are watching the politics like a hawk, like a lion on the safari. We are watching it all. We're watching the hyenas fight amongst themselves over the carcass of America. And we're the lions. The nationalists, the smart ones. I have a college degree and then some. But I always listen to my sergeant at arms. These people in the Beltway do not. And that is their Achilles heel. That is their primordial weakness. For when they're arrogant and they feel they know it all, That is their weakness. Any Roman conqueror who rode into a conquered city, it was forced upon him to have a slave whisper in his ear that all power is fleeting in the Roman chariot, while the crowds bowed down to him and waved their palm branches and threw their swords in the street. All power is fleeting. So never underestimate real America or the real country, because they will give you a rude awakening. And words mean things. Think about that phrase, rude awakening. We don't have to be nice anymore. We don't have to be nice to tyrannical rulers. We don't have to be pleasant to people that are obviously attacking the nation, attacking the people. Threats. I can't tell who comes out with more threats, whether it's Washington, D.C. or Beijing. That's how bad it is against the American people. Who puts out more threats on a weekly basis? I'm going to start tallying that and give you a report on that as we go forward. We have 80 container ships plus are now off the L.A. coast and growing. I have intel on the ground from Huntington Beach, and my sources tell me that the ships are all lined up, not moving, frozen in time. And more ships are coming. We have a scary supply chain situation and crisis that's emerging in this country. If you've been listening to the show, I'm telling you for weeks and months and years to get ready, get prepared. We could have a massive food shortage in some parts of the country in 2022. And by now, we've all heard of Alec Baldwin and the killing on the movie set, unfortunate circumstance. Well, a jokester said that the guns don't kill people. Alec Baldwin does. Now we will watch Alec Baldwin blame the gun again. To be honest, I've enjoyed his movies. He's pretty funny on SNL to me. He was very good in some Hollywood movies in Pearl Harbor and others. He's a good actor. I give credit where credit is due. But he is a rabid anti-Trump supporter. Not a supporter, but a that's just a play on words. He's rabid anti-Trump, put it that way. And we don't wish any ill will. But this will play itself out. And fortunately, a person's dead and a person is wounded. We'll leave that as it is. New Mexico will never be the same. If you say you're going to a New Mexico movie set, be sure to bring your bulletproof armor with you. Seriously. Remember, folks, the mainstream media inside America wants to demoralize you. They want you to feel all alone. But just remember that there are millions of us out here in real America. And 14 million immigrants came into America since the 2006, that era, right before Obama took power. We've had approximately, let's just say from 2005 onwards, we've had 14 to 15 million new people living off the system. The Democrats promote this invasion in the hopes that just 10% will vote illegally or vote two or three times for Democrat candidates is the more likely story. And no one will check. And no one will care. And then they'll also get to mail in their ballot, another vote. They're going to stack the votes for Democrat candidates. They'll never vote Republican. And you conservatives and cuck-servatives say that, oh, these people, they're hardworking. They're going to come in and vote Republican. We have a big tent philosophy, you say. What a joke. You're the kind of guy that looks at the invading army on the battlefield and says, we're all safe. Nothing to worry about as bullets are flying around your head. While your nationalist friends are in the foxhole getting the mortar rounds ready to blow back at the enemy. Just look at California with a K, California. And make no mistake about it, this is an invasion. Also, there's tons of Chinese people out there in California. I know. I've been there, and I can talk about it. They're being put in position. You know, any invading nation always wants to pre-position their people, their equipment, their weapons, etc. Unbelievable what's been going on. If you haven't seen the George Soros plan scenarios that were for the 2016 election, well, they're on my Gab account on the Von Wiehan Show. You should read them and share it. These are being implemented right now, and people are so blindly brainwashed, they are playing right along with it. Unbelievable. Folks, we're so glad you're here tonight. Big show for you all. The Wild West Show and our pre-dawn Halloween special. We're born as Americans with Viking blood, Revolutionary War blood from 1776 surges through our veins. Davos says we cannot be controlled. The Bilderbergs want to conquer America. George Soros is the Trojan horse with Biden to subvert America from within. We know all this to be true. We are born to be wild. We're born here again tonight. As you're here, let no stone be unturned.
We can climb so high, I never wanna die.
Just a little that song from classic late 1960s Steppenwolf, Kick Ass. Well, the phones are lighting up, and we will get to all your calls, I promise you. The Beast vaccine is the real virus, and it's designed to kill you. But the governments worldwide wanted you to beg for it, and millions of you did. So how's that working out for you now? Feel good? Well, I hope you do. I hope nothing happens to you. We wish no ill will on anyone on my show. We love everyone until they prove us otherwise. And then we will go to war with them. Well, the Chinese military and the Chinese Politburo of Communist China, Red China, say that you'll all be dead within 5 years. This is their words. As I told you in the last show, it was leaked out, their audible message was leaked out from a meeting, that you will all be dead within 5 years. I hope they're wrong. I hope many of you have taken the placebo, and I hope they're dead wrong. But it is worth mentioning, again, that is what they say. So I love leaked video. I love real politik. I guess China is about to unleash another COVID virus on the world. Another act of war by the communist regime. We'll see what happens. Duck and cover, as they said back in the day, if that happens. And by all means, don't forget to wear your mask, man. God. Pretty soon we'll be seeing these people with four or five masks again walking around like morons. Erdogan of Turkey has said this week that he will expel 10 Western ambassadors as they are all not wanted and they are persona non grata from the Turkish presidente. Now this week, Flake of Arizona, who resigned in disgrace, did not run again, put it that way, for Arizona senator, was given the commission, if you will, of the American ambassador to Turkey this week. He did not run again because he knew he was going to lose and lose big. He did not want to lose face or lose an election. His name was mud in this state. He got in on the coattails of McCain, and once the people found out about him, nobody wanted him to represent us in the U.S. Senate, and that is a fact. He hung around. He's the darling of the CNN and MSNBC and other left-wing radio or TV shows. He's always asked what his opinion is because he's one of those beltway Republicans who has curried the favor of the media. I wonder if the president of Turkey will expel Flake when he arrives in Turkey. He should. I would. You damn right I would. Get the hell out of my country. This is one area where the Von Wien show and the president of Turkey agree on foreign policy. I agree with the Turkish president. Kick them all out. They're all worth nothing anyway. They're all worthless. Don't blame him one bit, to be honest with you. If I ran Turkey, I would do the same thing. Pack your bags. Hit the bricks, pal. Don't let the door hit you in the head on the way out. And get out of my country. And by the way, you have an armed escort to the airport with machine guns pointed at you all the way. Have fun. Goodbye. Sayonara. Go F yourself. President Biden's vaccine mandate does not include the Congress of these United States. Most Americans don't know that because they say it hasn't affected me directly. Well, just know, Sherlock, that members of Congress are exempt from the vaccine mandate. And that crap right there is why the American people know that the hysteria, the mass hysteria involved with the vaccine mandate is a hoax. If you don't even take it yourselves and you exempt yourselves, you know, I see congressmen all the time on TV saying, you better take the vaccine. You better take it. They're all bought and paid for shills by all kinds of hostile forces against the nation's people more and more. Newspapers were printed about Bill Gates and what he said years ago. Many people have copies of these where he openly planned and talked about his plandemic. Those newspapers are trying to backpedal now and get rid of those articles that were written in 2009, 2010, 2011. I read them. And I said, look at this guy. Who is this son of a bitch talking about killing half the planet? Nobody paid any attention. Then I said, you wait. You just wait, because Von Wien will not forget a traitor. I will not forget a tyrannical ruler or a billionaire who thinks he's a scientist. F him too. One newspaper was released in 2011. 10 years ago, it tells us details about Bill Gates' plan to depopulate the planet. And with that, let's get to our hot phone lines. They are ready. I want to hear from Gunslinger in Texas, and then Paul the Gladiator. Let's get the Gunslinger front and center, sir. What's on your mind? Welcome to the Von Wiehunt Show. How are you doing?
Well, you know, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello?
Gotcha.
Can you hear me? Gotcha. All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, Von, it's getting a crazier and crazier world out there. It really is. I mean, everything that goes on and everything that's going on and things that come that's going to come to be, that's even more scarier, I guess. These people out here have gone completely bonkers. They really have. Now, our commander-in-chief, dictator, idiot, you know, pedophile, hair sniffer, you know who, sleepy, creepy Joe, he's willing to give money to illegals now. Oh,
right.
Screw the Americans. Screw the Americans. Screw the veterans that are out there living under bridges and on the street. Not to say all the other legal Americans that are in this country that was born and raised here, like you, me, everybody else listening, okay? But this son of a bitch, use my French, wants to give money, our hard-earned tax money, doesn't belong to that son of a bitch. It belongs to us, we the people.
That's right.
And they just give money to these, man, what, have they been smoking too much loco weed? Maybe so. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Because a
seems like
person
it.
Does not think in that agenda, unless you have an agenda, a very bad agenda at that. Okay? So when you have people that are completely undermining this country, evil people, no doubt about that. Okay? But yet Joe Biden won. Oh, that's right. He won, right? Man, if you believe that, I'll sell you the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge and I'll throw in a freaking maintenance contract for eternity, if you believe that crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
This is the most ridiculous thing. And a second note real quick about the shooter, Alex Baldwin, that lib turd. Okay. You know that he stated on Twitter, okay, that he stated, and they have it, that he wondered what it was like to kill an innocent person.
Yep,
not
I heard that. Yes, he did.
He said that. He stated that. That right there is grounds for probably attempted murder, because all you got to do is prove intent. And boy, if that does not prove intent, I don't know what will. What will?
They found an ammo bag, Gunslinger, on the movie set, which is strange. And the rumor is those prop guns, people don't know this, can be used for live ammo or blanks. And I know if some things about guns as you do, and they were target shooting, as the rumor goes, on the set. And then they put the blanks in for the scene. Maybe somebody left a bullet in there, or maybe it was intentional. Who knows? But the shadow knows, right?
Yep. And the gun knows. The gun always knows.
And the gun knows. The gun knows. Yeah. If guns could talk, I always said, if guns could talk, can you imagine what they would say? Oh, my God. The gun knows who's guilty.
It is, yeah. The gun absolutely knows. who's guilty. And I even read earlier, a couple of days ago, that the lady that got shot, the camera operator or whatever title was there, had just asked Baldwin to reshoot a scene. Well, it says here Baldwin was annoyed and told Helena, why don't I just shoot you? He then pointed the gun at her and pulled the trigger. Baldwin has a reputation for being brash and easily angered. Even if he expected a blank to be fired, he's responsible for pointing a gun at someone, and he pulled the trigger. Negligent homicide at the minimum.
I agree totally. The first rule of guns is you never point a gun loaded or unloaded. They don't say loaded, even loaded with blanks. You never point a gun at someone, period. Unless you intend to fire it.
That's right. In self-defense, you know, that's one way you implement it. But otherwise,
that's right.
Otherwise, no.
Well,
when I could take my
right, exactly.
Well, when I take my gun out to clean it, I carry a Dan Weston 357 Magnum. I take the shell out. It's a wheel gun. It's a revolver, and I line the shell up on the table, and I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 because it's a six.
That's right.
Then I look at the action, the wheel, or the cylinder, and I look to count 6 empty holes. And then I proceed to clean it.
That's right.
And I know them shells are not going to mysteriously reappear in my gun. It's physically impossible. Now,
with guns, you must pay attention to what you are doing at all times. Mm-hmm.
All times. What they should do is, why is live ammunition even allowed on a movie set? It's a movie. Nobody is supposed to get
there. You have it.
Now, what they need to do, and I know, I mean, it looks more authentic when you use a real gun, blah, 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 okay. But with today's technology, they can replicate a realistic-looking gun that can only shoot blanks. A live round would be impossible to put into one of these, you know, authentic-looking guns. Regardless of if it's an old Western six shooter or a modern day, you know, 45 semi-automatic, okay, they could make that, okay, and where they completely get the real guns off of that. These people do not need to have guns on their person because, like you said, and like I've said, and I've said it a zillion times, people are stupid around guns, okay, and especially the girl that's supposed to be the armorer or whatever you call this person, they're responsible. And Baldwin is responsible too because he is the producer of that movie. He is responsible for every action or reaction that goes on that set. It's not up to the maid or the person that sweeps the ground. It's him. When he got that gun, he should have opened the barrel up or the cylinder up, took the bullets out, and looked at them and made sure that they were not live rounds. It is so easy to tell the difference between a live round and a blank because a live round has a lead bullet on top of it.
That's right.
How stupid can you get?
It's pathetic.
It's amazing. I've never seen it gross negligent. I mean, I damn near was born with a gun in one hand and a pair of electrician's clines in the other. And I had never done anything as stupid as that.
I was too. My father had his Vietnam era M16 in the closet, 45 caliber in the study, had 22 rifles everywhere, and a 30-06. And he was ready for war. We had thousands of rounds of ammunition. Because back then, he really thought the Red Dawn invasion was around the corner. And millions of veterans thought the same thing. Or they thought tyranny from within, as what we're witnessing now. And they thought, we're effing ready. And we're going to protect our kids, our family, our neighborhood. And they knew guns. And the thing is, people, you know, this prop gun phrase has been touted in the press. Oh, it was just a prop gun. Well, prop guns in Hollywood can fire both live rounds and blanks. And they can. And who brought the pouch into the of the live ammo? That's what I want to know. Who brought that ammo pouch in? That, to me, is also a smoking gun, pun intended.
Somebody, they claim that they were pinking around before this movie set or whatever, or this scene
That's
or whatever.
Right. They were firing off in the desert having fun.
Firing off, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've done that a zillion times.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But when they have guns and real ammo, they should be separate and locked in separate containers. Only certain people would have the keys to these locked containers. So that way, they would never be able to mix. And if they had this replica gun that I'm talking about that they could manufacture, then a live round would never be able to put in these replica, blank firing guns. Okay? They would shoot the blanks, and that's it. You can make the cylinders a little smaller where a live round would not fit in there at all. And then they would say, ooh, wait a minute, this is a live round. I can't put this thing in there, So it would have saved that girl's life. 2 years old, married, and had a 9-year-old kid, man. That's pathetic.
And a beautiful woman, too. Beautiful woman and a cinematographer in Hollywood, highly acclaimed, doing great on her career. But I did hear there was some scuttlebutt and some friction, with some fights, if you will, some verbal fights, things like that on the set between the cast members. There was a walkout of some of the cast members at the New Mexico movie site that didn't feel that, and they were the smart ones. That would have been me. I'm getting the hell out of here. Because Alec is going to go nuts and someone's going to get killed. That would have been me. I would have said, we're going. F you guys. And they were the ones that vacated the premises. I would have been in that group. And then about a day later, she gets killed. And they knew something was going to happen. That, to me, those people need to be thoroughly interviewed. Because they're the ones that internally tipped themselves off. They self-balkanized. They took the Von Wien show advice. They got in their car and they left the movie set. Smart move. Very smart move. I want to talk to them. They need to be put all over there because that is, if they left a day or so early, man, I'd love to hear from them,
Well, yeah, that's also true that, this whoever hired this armor person, she was inexperienced, 24 years old, okay? And I've been reading to that report today, and everybody that are experienced people in that profession, they're laughing their butts off. I said, are you crazy? You can't hire somebody that is inexperienced with handling these firearms like that. That's like me when I was doing electrical work. Oh, here, go out there and just... You're just a combine mechanic. Okay, I want you to go out there and do electrical work, and I'll just go here and do this. That would be my responsibility because this guy's gonna go out there and burn a house down because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about or do. You know what I mean? You don't do that.
Exactly. Gunslinger, thank you so much for calling the show. Love you, man.
Yeah. One.
Have a great night.
One last. Yeah, you too.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, well, real quick. The ships that are anchored out there on both coasts, okay, they claim they don't have enough people to unload them. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to run a forklift or a crane. How about sending in the State Guard? Anybody ever thought about that? There you go.
Well, Democrat Newsom would never have that, would he? They don't want the goods to come into America. They want you to suffer. There's spare parts on there. Equipment parts, tires. There's already a tire shortage going on in the country. Remember, most of our tires are made in China and Japan and elsewhere in Asia. We don't make a lot of stuff over here. And they want the country to break down. And one way to do that is to restrict the flow of goods, the free flow of goods and information in the country. Gunslinger, thank you so much, sir. Have a great night. Good points.
You too.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, Gunslinger knows his guns, and he's right about that. We've got some more calls here we'll get to. But first, we must hear from Jack Nicholson.
You can't handle the truth unless you tune in to the Von Weehunt Show. That's right. He's no rhino. He's no paper-thin prosecutor standing in front of you in the courtroom. He's a real guy with real convictions, and he's got his own show on Thursdays on DarkSkyRadio.com, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Be there. Don't be a wimp.
Von's got the making of a champion there, you know. That's why he's back on the air. He's got his show. Hey, you got to tune into him. He's on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Call in if you got something you want to tell him or something you want to tell America. That's the Von Weehunt Show. That's right, on DarkSkyRadio.com. Hey, this is a rock here.
Love that. Rocky Balboa. And let's get to Paul the Gladiator, then Catwoman from Canada, and then the Irish Pirate. Maybe in that order, maybe not. Paul, are you there? How are you doing tonight?
What's going on, my friend?
What's happening?
Pulling 12-hour shifts in this Biden economy, man. Getting all the overtime I can.
I hear you.
We're now all working
harder than ever to pay those taxes and make that hard, cold cash.
Yeah, man, because the wheels are coming off. Wheels are coming off the economy. Colin Powell's dying of the vax SM-102 shot. I mean, no senator, no congressional house rep, no requirement for the shot. I don't think any of them got it because they know it's SM-102. They know it's Cayman Chemical. They know it's all the wealthy families in America that put that chemical together and dosed it out to India 6 years ago. Now they're dosing it out to America. You know, first of all, you know what I want to be when I grow up?
What's that?
A gunslinger.
Yeah!
The gunslinger is awesome, man. I love him.
That's awesome.
He's a no bullshit Texas guy. I love it.
They're my kind of people, man. Awesome.
Right. I'm looking around. You and I were together over the weekend. I mean, you look at when you walk around, you see prices going up. You see fewer people out in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't afford the goods anymore because the funnel has stopped. There's nothing pouring in the big end of the funnel to get out anywhere. So nothing's on the shelf. And what's there, even though it cost less 6 months ago to put on that shelf, the stores are charging more for it because they can't get any new items on the shelves.
Right.
They don't need another pandemic. They're just crushing the supply chain and creating that frenzy that, all the toilet paper is going to be bought up again. All the napkins. Everybody's going to just start grabbing anything left on the shelf. Those that can afford it. Those that can't are going to do without. Think about this. We are literally November. And then 3.5 weeks from there into Christmas, there's no way that they could ever 8 week supply Christmas. Nothing's going to happen for this holiday season. Now, you and I don't care. You and I really don't care, right? I mean, we're beyond the Christmas, myth, right?
I believe in Santa. I love Christmas. My favorite time of the year.
It is, right?
I love holidays. Thanksgiving to New Year's is my favorite time of the year, Paul.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying is, like, we're not we're not children, and we don't have young kids to show a good time in the holidays. But, you know, the fabric
that we
of
know
our
of.
Country. Yeah, exactly. The fabric of our country.
They could be in foreign built, countries. We don't know for sure.
But it's built
but I digress.
On the family fabric. And those families, those children, I mean, we're talking kids from 3 years old to 12
right.
years old, they're going to know that there's no Santa Claus. Not because somebody
right.
told them, not because they woke up to the fact, it's because they're not going to have a fucking Christmas this year. And, you know, the Biden regime and the Democrat-controlled House, Kamala Harris, you know, vote-controlling Senate, did this to America. They did this to the American families. I just hope that this shows those Democratic moms and dads how bad siding with the liberal Democrats actually is. I hope after these holidays they finally go. They can't blame Trump. They can't blame the Republicans. We don't have control of it. It's in your hands, people. I hope they wake up to this fact and say, we may have made a bad decision, you know.
Right.
It, you know, you and I know a lot of people, men and women, who woke up from 2016 to 2020 coming from the left to the right. This should actually
mm-hmm.
be a humongous tidal wave where the Democrats are going to push their own people to the right, center and right. That's all we need. Push them to the center. We'll take them into our side. They'll be closer. We'll get them. They'll understand it. But this is just, you know, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg because the inflation that was starting to happen already is
mm-hmm.
now being shoved over the cliff by the Democrats, by Biden, by the Democratic governors, where they're just going to siphon the supply up and jack inflation. Forget prices. Those are going to go up no matter what. But jack inflationary
right.
rising to the point where it's going to take 8 years of a Republican presidency, House and Senate, to fix what they're going to screw up, which they're screwing up now. It hasn't even been a year yet. And we got three more plus years of this crap. They're going to drive us not only over the cliff, but down into the gully. The engine's going to blow. The gas is going to ignite it, and it's just going to be flames. Then they're going to turn the reins over, right? They're going to turn the reins over, and the Republicans are going to be like, what the flip? We don't even – how is this ever going to get fixed now? It's worse than Jimmy Carter, right? It's worse than Jimmy Carter. It's worse than what happened under Carter financially and economically. You know, add the foreign bullshit, you know, the debacle and unbelievable that we gave a fucking country to terrorists under this presidency on top of his economic debacle. Is this guy competent at anything? Can he cook hot dogs and hamburgers without burning them?
Hot dog, Joe.
You know,
I would not trust him around a kitchen at all. No.
No.
I totally agree with you.
Never around a gas propane barbecue. Maybe if it's just briquettes. if somebody else pours the lighter fluid on the briquettes and lights that, maybe he can stand over there. But he'll still burn the hot dogs and hamburgers for the kids. He'll give them all burnt hot dogs and hamburgers like he's giving them a burnt Christmas. This guy is
right.
Cooked.
Joe Biden is Scrooge and the Grinch all wrapped into one for the holidays. And if he was a
True.
Scoutmaster, Paul, he would burn down the campsite. He'd burn it down.
After he, sniffed, after he sniffed all the young girls' hairs.
That's right. That's right.
He's
guy's
a
freak and a creep.
He's a freak, a creep. He's incompetent. He's ridiculous. Stu Nod married the woman he cheated on his wife with when she was alive, tried to blame the other driver, wife,
yep.
who died in the car accident, crossed the road with a baby child in her arms, unfortunately, their daughter. So I'm sure she was trying to hold their daughter while driving and unfortunately crossed the road, smashed into the middle of the other person's car, and Biden tried to blame the other driver in the media. Like, the guy was like, yeah, the accident's on my side of the road.
Right.
I got hit. And Biden's like, you were wrong. What did you do? You killed my wife. No, I was driving in my lane, way over into my lane, nothing near the yellow line. Your wife's car's in front of my car. Hit me, you know?
Right.
And the guy was trying to blame, and Biden's trying to blame him. He's been playing that blame game ever since that moment. Ever since that moment.
Yeah.
And you know, true intentions come out in people's emotions. He probably felt so bad that he was cheating on her with his current wife. It's true. He was cheating on with her back then. That's why he married her so quickly, and she's a lot younger than he is. She was younger than his wife at the time. You know, nobody ever hears these stories, you know, but he probably had so much guilt. That's why he's been trying to throw the blame game from that person driving that car all the way to today. He's trying to blame Trump for his own decisions on foreign policy, on economic policy, and all he's doing is he's a snake oil salesman with this spin vaccine, which is not a vaccine. It's an SM-102 chemical shot. Come get your chemical
shot,
right, folks. Get over. Give me a soapbox. I just pulled into town. I got my horse and buggy, and I got this really cool little bottle. Look, we stick a needle in it. We stick it in your arm. Ah, you're going to die in 5 years.
That's right.
By the way,
I know.
It's all for free. We don't even charge you for the shot. We give it to you for free.
That's right. We'll even pay you for it. Paul, thanks for calling the show, man. Love you out there, brother.
Bye-bye.
You know it. Keep the faith. It's Paul the Gladiator calling from his North Valley compound. By the way, we are broadcasting nationwide. I have the cojones to talk to the world, and I will talk to the world to their face. We're in many countries. We're in Australia, Canada, UK, Germany. We're in Europa, Netherlands, South Africa. We're in Thailand. We're in even in India. We're in South Korea, where our military forces are listening to us and our CIA substations, who I know love the Von Wiehent Show. Let me tell you what real America really thinks about everything. No filter and no BS, which stands for Bernie Sanders, and none of that crapola you hear, and we're not a rhino corporate radio show. Why, you ask? Because right now we don't have a sponsor. I, your illustrious host, am sponsoring and underwriting this production. This is always a Von Wiehent Show production with our great smartest callers in the world. And by the way, are you in for a treat next week or what? I told a couple of you, we have the famous author, well, he will be famous, I'll make him famous, Stephen Albany will be on the show. He was already on Coast to Coast AM with his book called Who Murdered Elvis. I have an autographed copy coming to the studio. I can't wait to listen to it and to read his book and to hear him. This is a book about the mob hit of Elvis Presley, supposedly, allegedly, of course, and his version of it. He's done lots of digging. He's an investigative researcher and author. Short stories that Elvis was... he was tired of being, threatened by the Vegas Mafia. And so you wonder why he had all the black belt karate guys that surrounded him, why Elvis himself became a black belt karate and self-defense. And he even put that into his act. Supposedly they set him up and they killed him to grab all the royalties because he was more valuable dead than alive. The musical Taste of America were changing somewhat. They thought he was on the way out anyway. They had him up on, you know, donuts and drugs, and they whacked him. And to this day, Elvis Presley franchise is still making millions and millions of dollars per year. And this is all allegedly in the book, but he has a website called whomurderedbooks.com. And that's next week will be a little bit of a different show. We're going to have author Steve Albini on front and center in the radio octagon talking to us about that book. He also wrote a book called Who Murdered FDR, Who Murdered Diana, et cetera. And they were all hits. And I believe that he is on top of something. These bombshells are very mucho, mucho importante as they stay south of our border. So I can't wait to hear that next year. Our VIP guests, we're going to start our winter VIP season. I've got many people that want to come on the show, but we've just had scheduling conflicts. A lot of them want to do pre-tape, and I insist on live radio. And so I don't do pre-tape. I want them live on my show. Okay, so that's how I roll. Pre-taping's okay, but it's just too much studio time, and I want them to be live. And then, but we'll have a shorter talk session next week, and we'll probably have more comments on that the following week, of course, as well. Also, don't forget next week, next Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month is the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy talk show next Tuesday. Can you believe November is around the corner? And then, of course, we'll have Steve Albini on next week, November the 4th. So November the 2nd will be our once-a-month show, our fun show, where it's an open bar. I'll be in my silk dragon robe, and we'll be talking about the news of the day with dating and fun stuff. Great music, more comedy, just a fun all-around show. But we'll interject always some political stuff for those of you junkies out there who can't get enough of that. Look, it's going to sound like this next Tuesday night.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture of the ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it. Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink, the edge or on the brink. But bam, wham, bam.
It's too much for one Mad Hound, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. To the ambushers.
Kind of a retro thing and a retro show about the Bachelor in America and how politics affects him, how the dating scene, our toxic dating scene affects him, and how the media is always talking about toxic masculinity and toxic males and all the other BS and propaganda, and how the male has got to navigate this minefield as the media is dead set, especially against the heterosexual male in Western society, and especially if he is of European descent. He is the enemy of the mass media and the Biden regime, and we talk about that on a different level, if you will, but it's all good. And with that, let's get to our great northern neighbor, Catwoman, from the northern frontier of Canada. I know she's on a very expensive line. I want to get her on the show in the octagon. How are you doing, Catwoman? Are you there?
Oh, I'm fine, Vaughn. How are you?
Hey, doing great. What are your thoughts? What's going on up there in Canada and America, and what do you want to say tonight?
Well, you know what? I really enjoyed your monologue tonight. I think you hit the nail on the head. I couldn't have said it better myself. Wow.
Thank you.
It's what
I'm good about that.
It all boils down to. what it all boils down to is that the Jews hate us so much, right? All of those things that you said that they're working towards to eradicate us. And actually, it tied in nicely with your opening statement of the European pride, our heritage, our culture. We created civilization by the sweat of our brow.
That's
and in the battles that we fought. I'm of European descent as well, and my ancestors were pagan, and we have such a rich culture, and
thank you. I thought it was very necessary to talk about the USS Liberty, and that most Americans don't know about that because it was so long ago. But it really wasn't that long ago, less than about 50 years back or so, 1967. But Israel, look, I'm not against any one group of people, as you well know, but we will talk about any group on the show. We will talk about Antifa. We'll talk about BLM. We'll talk about protected classes of people, i.e., could be the Jews or anybody else. I mean, everyone is fair game. I'll talk about evangelicals. I will talk about, MAGA people, conservatives. We will poke fun of everybody sooner or later. I told you folks, I'm the equal opportunity offender, and sooner or later we're going to get to you, right? I even poke fun of the right wing a little bit, and there's a lot of groups in the world, and I really prefer to call them Zionists, because anybody that says that I'm a Zionist, that means you're for Israel or for Zionism over America. And that tells me right away you are not. You can be an evangelical. You can be a Protestant and say that. I've seen many Protestants say, we're evangelicals. They're for the Greater Israel Project. They're not for a Greater America Project. And this is where they stand. And I go, okay, well, you can be of any faith, any lineage. But if you say, you're anti-American, well, that's what you are. I believe in truth and advertising. And people will tell you what they are sooner or later, I think.
Well, you know what?
It's
funny because I've never heard, maybe it's more prevalent in America, but I've actually never heard the term Judeo-Christian until Trump ran for presidency in 2016 or prior to that. It just boggles my mind how people rationalize that. You're either a Jew or a Christian. You can't be both. Do you believe Jesus was the Son of God, or do you believe he was a false prophet? You can't have it both ways. One killed him, and the other. That
it's an oxymoron, isn't it?
You see what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Right. I always cringe when I hear that, to be honest with you. I always cringe and go, oh God, there's that. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to have, we're a big tent philosophy. We want everybody in our big tent. And I just cringe and just roll my eyes and go, I know they're trying to get votes. I know it's a political season. I know, but I wish they wouldn't get up there in the bully pulpit and say these stupid things. And a lot of us just sort of cringe at it and go, what the F are you talking about? Here's Christian values that started the West. To be blunt, the Jews were not the founding fathers of America, okay? And again, nothing against, if people are born Jewish, that's just the luck of the draw. They had nothing to say about that. But my point remains that the founding fathers were, to be blunt, they weren't Swahili. They weren't into Buddhism. They weren't Hindus. They weren't Jews. They did not worship voodoo. they weren't in a satanic religion of any kind. They were Christian men from Europe. They did not worship the Mayans or, the sun god. They were Christian men, right? So, and that same pretty much held true for Canada that, your founding fathers, but it's like they weren't of these other groups. And when they spoke, they were speaking, as I said in my monologue, for our posterity. They did not mean the world. They never said, we're going to fight a war. We're going to, let me get this straight. We're going to shed blood. We're going to get our arms and legs hacked off by bullets and musket balls. We're going to let the British burn our farms and factories and homes because we want the world to live in peace and harmony. No.
Right.
No. That is not what they thought. Now, to listen to liberal people, you're right, Kath, that talk about that, they'll have you convinced that, yeah, there were, for example, there were African-American freed slaves in the Continental Congress. There were Jews. There were Hispanics, if you will. Maybe a member from the indigenous tribes. I mean, the portrait they paint is totally wrong. I hate to say it, they were wealthy, white, heterosexual, Christian men of means, the made men of the colonies, that were part of the colonial aristocracy, that also had what I call a common touch with the people. They were of the people, and they made it in America. People will say, well, I'm not going to go down all kinds of rabbit holes about that. But they came over, and slavery, by the way, was all over the world. It's still implemented today in the Middle East and Africa. So they've never eradicated slavery, to be honest with you, around the world. Just Google it. They had a slave auction in Libya about a few months ago where they were auctioning off African slaves yet again. This is what they do in Africa. They sell their own people. It's been happening for millennia. But getting beyond that, they were fighting against the British and risking death for the world or to help out some Middle Eastern person or somebody from Central America jungles to hike up to our Texas border and stuff. No, they were doing it for themselves, their kind, their posterity, their family, and their heritage. And that's the truth. I mean, would you risk your life for the world? But you would risk it, I'm sure, for your family, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm the same way. I would risk it for my family, friends, neighborhood, but not for the world. They weren't fighting this war for the world. And that is where they try to rewrite our history books. They try to teach the younger kids, I mean, I saw a painting on Gab the other day. I think I posted like 20 million times of the leftist version, I call it, of the Continental Congress. And there wasn't hardly one white person in the Continental Congress. A Democrat, a person drew it for fun. But I'm sure people actually think that's the truth. I mean,
yeah.
It's a joke how they want to rewrite our history, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Digress.
I'm always fascinated by the historical lessons I get on your show. It's very interesting. I just wonder, we can talk about the liberals or the Democrats, but the conservatives, correct me if I'm wrong, but even Trump himself said that America was founded on Judeo-Christian values. So what would you say to that?
I'll tell you exactly what I think about that. That's a question that's been posed to me many, many, many times. Trump is okay. From New York. On the street, they call it Jew York, to be blunt. Okay. There's a heavy concentration of Jews that happen to live in New York. I love to state obvious facts. Okay. Trump is from that environment. A lot of his donors happen to be Jewish. For his presidential campaign, a lot of people in the Jewish banking industry or whatever has kind of bailed him out over the years. I think he feels he owes it to them. And so to me, that's just politics 101. In other words, here's an old saying, do in Rome as the Romans do. In other words, he knows, look, to back up, Judeo-Christian values are what every politician says in the last 20, 25, 30 years. It's an invented term, right? We both know that. It's invented to get votes. It's invented to get donations. And
yeah,
it's not part of really our historical record, right? So it was really invented several decades ago, and it was put into the lexicon. And our founding fathers never walked around saying, well, we're going to fight a war against the British for Judeo-Christian values. Never once did our founding fathers ever, ever talk about the Judeo-Christian values. To be blunt,
right,
and I am blunt at times, they wrote some scathing articles about why they left Europe. Hint, hint, nod, nod. In other words, they left Europe because they were over there, to be really blunt, and they wanted to get away. It was the ultimate white flight out of the dark ages of Europe, out of their clutches, out of to be away, to be an ocean's a large ocean away and start a new life, to get away from all that, the caste system of Europe and the monarchies. And it wasn't just, again, we don't target any one group on my show, but everybody is fair game. And so that was that. So I don't want this show to be just about, you know, the Jews or whatever. It's not, we talk about, there's so many other topics to talk about. And I don't like to give them too much, you know, intel or time, because I don't feel they deserve it, to be honest. But they have to be brought up from time to time because they are a part of the historical record. It's how I kind of approach it. But yeah, so that's my big point. The founding fathers did not fight a war against Britain for Judeo-Christian principles. Now, fast forward to 2021, modern day politicians try to convince people that they did. They're trying to snow you with what I call revisionist history. Well, the reason why Washington fought is to free the slaves and Judeo-Christian. Whenever you hear somebody talk like that, folks, you're listening to a moron. They'll literally get on TV and they go, well, you know, they kind of talk like this. Well, Washington fought against the British, you know, or Judeo-Christian principle. No, they're brainwashed people that are morons and idiots. It's not why they fought. Founding fathers were very clear that we're going to all hang if we get caught by the British, and we're going to die. If we don't win this war, we're all going to hang separately or together. And they said it many, many, many times. They're going to cart us. What most Americans don't know is the British plans for public execution of our founding fathers. They were going to ship them back to England in chains on ships. Washington, Franklin, John Adams, and all the rest. And they were going to parade them through London and have people throw rotten vegetables at them and curse them and have parades and banquets and feasts. And then they were going to talk about these scoundrels in the colonies, and then they were going to behead them in the public or hang them. But they weren't quite sure. There was talk about this in the royal court. How are we going to deal with these rebels when we ultimately win, Sia? So this is what they were thinking about. I love to look at the revolution from the British perspective, because that tells you volumes about what they were up against. And these men won. So, and my ancestors fought on the revolutionary side. And yes, we did get our scalps. We did, and they did, and I would too. We got our scalps. And we made America a mass grave for those British redcoats. Many died on our soil. And good. That's what invaders get. They die on our soil. So that is, you know, again, Trump's just trying to get money and support in, you know, look, it's what you call about, it's politics 101. You know, here's my point to you back, Kat. Do you really, to anybody, do you really expect Trump, seriously, from New York, to say, screw Israel, to hell with the Jews, I'm Donald Trump, I can win without you? And, you know, come on. You know what I mean? I mean,
oh,
he'd be castigated.
I know what you mean.
I mean, you,
Yeah.
You think the attacks on him were bad before? They would unleash the full ferocity of the media against him. He would have never been elected in 2016. Even with all the hatred against him, you know what I mean? That's where I'm coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that, and you understand that, but there's a lot of people, believe it or not, that are still waiting on the off. And I absolutely believe that there was fraud and Biden did not win. But I'm just saying that people are still clinging to this hope. That, well, actually, we call it copium now. It used to be hopium. Now we call it copium. They're just clinging onto this copium that he's going to come back and save the day because he's not just a politician. So I would say the way you explained it, and I absolutely agree, he really is just another politician, and people don't see that. They hold
That's right.
him in such high regard that he's just he's the savior of America, and he's going to come back and put everything right. I would say no. Maybe it would have prolonged the collapse of the system if he did get in. But at the end of the day, if you realize where he comes from and who backs him, it would be no further ahead.
Right, with one caveat that I'll throw in there for you.
Sure.
Personally, and again, I'm a pragmatist, folks, when it comes to politics. If you're looking for a purity test of any politician, you will be so disappointed your entire life. A lot of people out there are looking for a pure politician, pure blood, pure person, pure motives. The word pure and politics don't go together. A lot like Judeo-Christian don't go together. They're direct opposites. It's an oxymoron. So I tell people the issue, I fast forward that to pure politics. You want a politician who's moral and this and that and... You know, look, in the rough and tumble world of politics, I'm a pragmatist. The one caveat I would say to what you said was that Trump allowed America with a steady economy to prepare and get ready for what's really coming. And that is what I kept saying repeatedly to people. He's letting the economy steamroll ahead. A lot of the people in the New World Order and the globalists hated Trump because he effed up their plans, to be honest. Hillary was their heir apparent. And Trump was the bull in the china shop that kept the economy going. We told you when I was broadcasting on KFNX to get your business going, make your money, prepare, because I saw all this coming. I saw the unraveling of the Trump presidency. People used to yell at me, Kat, and go, no, Trump's going to win. It's ordained by God. I go, really?
Oh, boy.
Well, I swear to God. And I go, pun intended, and I go, there's no guarantee, folks, that Trump is going to win re-election. You underestimate your enemy. Didn't 2016 teach you folks anything? Look how hard it was to go against Hillary Clinton. And I don't care if it is a weaker candidate like Biden. They're going to pull out all the effing stops. This time, and they even told you, we're going to stop him come hell or high water. We don't care what it takes. We don't care what the burden. We don't care how much we have to cheat. And we don't even care if you know about it. He's out of that Oval effing office. And the Democrats, their elite, said that repeatedly. And I take the enemy at their word. And I said, folks, I don't think he's going to win. I want him to win. He did win, technically. He did. But in reality, he did not win because they stole the election. And I always said, it's what Stalin says. It's not how many votes Trump got from the blacks or the middle class or the suburban voters or the Jewish bloc on the East Coast or New York, whatever. They're going to say he lost, which is what they did. They put it out on the media very fast. Trump lost. And billions of people went to bed thinking Trump lost. And that was the media narrative. It's called the narrative and the agenda, and they're all like lemmings. All the media is interconnected. We know that. And they all had their marching orders the next morning at 6 a.m. You will say this, and you will say this on this TV station. They had it all pre-written on the teleprompters, ready to go. That's leaked out, too, that Biden won, already written months before.
Yep.
There was a guy that worked at several TV stations. We already had this in the computer, ready to go, ready to roll. They had it. There's no way Trump was going to win when I heard the enemies of America and the American people talk like that. I said, because they count the votes. They own the media. They're not. This is where I tell folks Trump is kind of in the middle here, too. Look, you can't expect him to go against any one group in New York. He's surrounded by lots of ethnic groups in New York City. To do business there, you have to deal with everybody. It's not like you're in Kansas or Oklahoma, maybe even Arizona. You've got to deal with every ethnic. You have to do business. I mean, have you ever been to New York City? Talk about a melting pot. It's like a foreign country. You hear 30 different languages. You see people wear funny hats. You see people wear funny-looking clothes from Africa. I mean, they got everything, right? Like L.A. But New York is worse. Yeah. I've been there. Okay. Yeah. So my thing is you have to deal with the reality that you're given. Trump, as a boy, grew up in New York. He dealt with the reality he was given. So he thought, look, I don't care what I personally think. I have to deal with all these freaking groups. So I have to make the best of it. It's the bed I've been given, the cards I've been dealt. I'll make the best of it. Well, that's a smart move. I will make the, like I said, as in Rome, do as the Romans do. He's in Rome, he's in a Roman capital full of multicultural people. He has to deal with them or not make money. I mean, that's about the way the cards tumble, right? So that's where I'm a pragmatist, and I go, don't expect – at the end of the day, Trump's a politician. And that's – and he – like I tell folks, Kat, he's not my messiah. He's never been my personal messiah. I went to his rallies here in Phoenix. I support the guy in the sense that, to me, anyone that keeps the economy going where my Viking brothers and sisters can get ahead and prepare – and have a job because they need many, many paychecks, right, to get ready for what is coming. That's a good thing. And I don't have to agree with everything the guy says. You'll never get a politician that you agree with 1,000%. But he kept the economy roaring. And that, to me, was a blessing to the middle class of this country that they got ahead. They were starting to make money. They were starting to save. They were buying more guns. They were buying more bullets. They were buying more food, more water, body armor, everything from, prepping supplies. And they were buying land and ranches and cattle and livestock. Well, it takes a lot of money, right, to buy all that stuff. So Trump was really good for that. And that's where I give him a lot of credit. And if he did a lot of good that way.
I would see that as a really good political tactic to earn a huge following, to gain the people's trust, because even now, look how that's playing out now. Even though he quote unquote lost, even though he's promoting a vaccine, people have undying loyalty to him because of that. And to me, looking back, it kind of seems kind of like an Operation Trust 2.0, where he did those things to gain such support.
Yes. And having said my thoughts are that could be part of a diabolical plan. I think that Trump is, I think it's more simple. I think he basically is a businessman, and he's always loved business. I mean, I was following him in the 80s. I bought his book, The Art of the Deal, for God's sakes, when I was a kid when it came out in the bookstores. I bought it. I read it. I loved it. And I used to go, really? I wanted to be a Donald Trump. I wanted to be a multimillionaire, billionaire, you know, guy. You know, at least I'll say Trump has built things. A lot of people talk a big game in our country, and they haven't built a damn thing. Trump has. I love facts. Trump has built hotels. He's employed thousands of people. Again, he's not my messiah. I don't think the guy's perfect. He's also lost a lot of grassroots support in the sense of what you just said. People are now looking back going, Now, I've always said I don't like his talk about the vaccine, but I will say this. Don't forget, he's a politician. Trump rolled out Operation Warp Speed, which was Operation No Speed. Everyone touts that operation. It wasn't fast. It was effed up. And I think Trump threw a wrench in it because it never really got off the ground in a major, major way. They always complain about how slow. And the joke was in D.C., Operation Warp Speed's a broken down car. I think Trump, again, famous Trump fashion, I'll give you what you want. Get the F off my back. Here's your vaccine. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He put Fauci up there to make him look bad. You always notice that. He put Fauci in a lot of the talking. Mm-hmm. So Trump's sly like that. He'll put up other people, and he never made Operation Warp Speed a big success, though it had a fancy operation title. And then basically, I've always said, if I was an advisor, I would tell him to shut the F up about this vaccine. And no one really believes Trump or Biden took the real vaccine anyway. Everyone knows they took a placebo. That's my belief.
Yeah.
I don't even believe Trump had COVID. I believe Trump said he had COVID, again, to get the media off his back. And they were – because don't forget, I have my memories are still trapped. They were saying, you should get shot with the COVID vaccine, you and your family. I mean, this was a constant broken record by that left-wing media, and Trump went, I'm going to throw them a curveball. I'm going to say I've got COVID. We're going to go to Walter Reed so me and my family can, quote-unquote, get vaccinated. We'll all get a placebo shot, and that will get the media off my effing back. And it worked like a charm because the media bought it, hook, line, and sinker. And then they dropped that talk about getting you, because they were saying, well, how can you meet world leaders and you don't wear a mask and you aren't vaccinated, Mr. Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And it got – Trump took their big arguing point off the table. So to me, I think that was all a ruse. And then his second part of it was Operation Warp Speed, which he then told his generals, screw this thing up. I don't really, hear much about it. Now he's come out a few times and talked about the vaccine only because, again, he thinks someone's giving him bad advice and they're telling him it's popular, and it's not popular. This is where one of the few times I've seen Trump out of touch with the common man and woman. I think he's been given bad advice. Now he's been castigated on social media about this too. It's bound somebody like me will eventually come to him and say, Mr. President, whoever is advising you to talk about the vaccine is a moron. Fire them. You're famous for firing people, so fire them today. I would advise them to fire them. I would say, hire me. I'll give you the good advice and whisper in your ear what you should do. And I'll let you take all the credit. I don't need the glory or the credit. I'll do it for the nation. I'll do it for my people. I'm the power behind the throne. I have no problem playing that role. I don't need to be the front guy, though I can be the front guy. So my thing is, I think that's what's going on in a nutshell with Trump. I mean, I would vote for Trump today over Biden in a heartbeat. I wouldn't stay home because, again, Trump would unload the containers off our deck, to our L.A. docks. He would get parts rolling, food to our people, things like that. Would he do some things I wouldn't like? Sure he would. But again, I just chalk that up as politics 101, It's all you can do. I mean, you take the bad with the good. in life. We're never going to get a perfect candidate, ever, until we have our own country. And that is for a new for another show, because we need to be a country within a country right now. And I've said that, self-balkanized. I want us to be our own country. We can start being our own country today. Another Von Wien show solution is people would self-balkanize now. Get in the in your areas now. Get pre-positioned. Isn't that what the enemies do? They pre-position people, material, houses, arms. That's what any invading army does. Well, we're also an invading army within. We need to pre-position ourselves in the country. Get next to your people now. People you trust, people that are like you. And I'll leave it at that.
That's right.
What are your final thoughts?
Yep. Well, actually, we covered a lot of ground tonight. I agree 100% that we need to take our lands back. These our countries, Canada and America, they're European countries, and this is our home, and the invaders are growing, and we need to take our lands back, and then we can go from there and sort out the political mess, right? And
right,
those are my final
thoughts.
That's what
I'm saying, is get pre-positioned now, people. If you're surrounded by a ghetto, I'll be blunt, in America's face, if you're surrounded by people that want to kill you, they want to shank you, they want to beat up your kids every day, get the hell out of there. Everyone's got a car. Everyone's got a few $100 for gas. Move in the middle of the night. Move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find out an area of people like you and move there.
Mm-hmm.
And people like me, you know, are in business. And if I had a big company, I would do nothing but seek those people out and hire them. And if you're an employer, be a patriot. Step up. Hire a few extra workers. It won't hurt you, your bottom line. Help some people out. Hire some people, put them to work, get them a paycheck. They need paychecks. They need the support, you know, and that's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
And if we do that now, well, then we're pre-positioned, aren't we? See, I just do what the enemy does, only better. That's the method of my madness.
Well, you're always five steps ahead, Vaughn.
I am. Because I think I war game these things in my Germanic warrior mind. I'm way ahead of them. Kat, thanks so much for calling the show. We had a great conversation, and we will continue it, part two, part three, part four, okay?
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, Vaughn. Have a good night.
Thank you, Kat. Kat from Canada, great call. She brought up some great points. I love a robust debate. I love these things. Look, as I told you before, folks, we don't target any group in America, but by God, we will talk about every group in America, if you know what I mean, and I know you do. Everything is fair game, as I've told you before. No stone left unturned. All stones will be turned over, and we will look, and we will see what's really going on. It is about blood and soil. It is about our lands. It is about our people. And we got to get pre-positioned now for the onslaught. And with that, we'll get to the Irish Pirate next.
I'm taking flight as the diamond.
nation peaceful. We want a good country. And with that, let's get to the Irish pirate somewhere in Phoenix from his command bunker. Irish pirate, are you there tonight, sir?
Absolutely, sir. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely, man. It's great to hear your voice, Tech Wizard. And we are broadcasting all over the nation and the world tonight. What are your thoughts, my friend?
Well, I got a bunch of different ones. I hope I can get them all in. Let's see. The thing that freaked me out was that how, if you remember in that Section 230 battle, you try to get on social media and the people that are on it don't want to let you on. And they're basically saying, this is our product and this is our only product, until they got caught trying to be more than a product. And so now they've way overstepped the boundaries. And so Facebook is now going to call itself Meta, because as Mark Zuckerberg, I just listened to him rant for a couple of minutes as to how we're suddenly changing. The answer is the only reason you're changing, Mark Zuckerberg, is because you lost the game. You're resetting the goalpost now, because otherwise you go under and your stupid Facebook idea goes under when everybody else makes a new, less judgmental product. And so, yeah, you can just hear the guy whining. It's only a 2 minute and change video. And he's just literally telling you, oh, everything is going to be so different. We have all these different products. Yeah, well, they're all going to suck too, because you don't care about
right.
who actually uses the product. You only care about what the power you gain from having such a product. So you are no different than Bill Gates. We already learned about him, and he's already been tossed out of 25 countries, maybe 30 by now. And Zuckerberg, you're going to go with him, because we're going to kick you out of America for first. That sounds pretty good. Anyway, that's one idea. Number two, you were talking about movies. I was the last movie I was in, just in case, you know, because when I'm out teaching chess, sometimes people will look at me and say, you know, chess is for nerds or something. And I laugh at them. I said, my last movie was called Good Man Down. And they would look at me funny. It's like, yes, my last movie was called Good Man Down. It was shot in the Rancho Penasquitos area of San Diego. And they brought in a bunch of lots of people who wanted to volunteer to do it. They had some really good, it was what you'd call a B movie, in that they brought in the really good actors, but had very localized talent actually putting together the video and that kind of thing. And so the lead actor of what's that kid's name? I'll come to it in a moment. Anyway, he was this very well-known boy was the star of this movie, which was based on a high school soccer team that had a special needs
okay.
kid who wasn't getting any run. And finally he gets a chance to be a hero. But smartly, the girl goes with the super guy who was the team captain all the way along, and you know, everything comes back to normal at the end. But here's the point.
Sure.
I was in that movie and chosen along with one other guy because we were both AYSO soccer referees, as well as my mm-hmm. acting talent. But that wasn't, you know, they didn't screen me or review me for that. They actually asked the AYSO, do you have anybody? And so, you know, they pulled us out. And just like what you're figuring out with this, you know, who knows how to handle a gun on a movie set? The answer is nobody. I lived in Sheridan, Wyoming for a number of years. They got all excited when Kenny Rogers and Pam Dauber came up and they were going to do the movie Wild Horses, and they found out Kenny Rogers can't ride. I mean, ooh,
right.
you know, a lot of people were really disappointed. Well, come
right.
on. I mean, just because no different than a doctor in his lab coat. If he doesn't heal anybody and all he does, and he doesn't cite any reports, he's not a doctor. He's an idiot. And so, yeah, too bad.
Right.
And so they're hiring Kenny Rogers to ride and he can't, you know, so be it. That's, you know, that his social suicide. But anyway, so here we got a guy that not only he, but the guy that's actually the equipment manager has had problems with loaded guns before. And, you know, I don't know what else to say about that, because in Good Man Down, the AYSO soccer referees ended up having to kick all the passes in the movie because nobody knew how to handle a soccer ball. Yeah, so it was kind of hilarious that he would line up on one side, I would line up on the other, and then we would just practice, you know, lobbing assists in towards the goal so somebody could kick it in, because they couldn't get somebody to do that in the movie. They had to cut that, splice that together. happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I understand movies. I'm really, and it's bothered a lot of people when I say I don't understand why people watch them at all. That there's, you know, there's nothing factual anymore in movies. It's all propaganda anymore. I want heroes in movies. I haven't seen anything like that in over 20 years. And, you know, it's easy for me to just say I could write better ones. I don't care about movies. And freaks people out because they can't make a decent point, usually on a talk show on the other shows, without citing some silly movie from way back when. I do it very rarely. You know?
Right.
And so, I mean, come on, there's got to be something better. Okay. Speaking of which, a good valuable lesson, more valuable dead than alive. I need somebody to look out for Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain, I think, was also kicked off because he was getting ready to check out. He was very clearly not interested in fame. And once he had that much money and realized what it was doing to him, he realized he needed to get out of the spotlight. There was too much pressure on him. He was going to leave. And the who stood to gain, for example, his wife, you know, who really loved the money and really loved the fame. And she was nothing without him, as proven after he died. And so, I think somebody needs to look into that. Plus, of course, they killed him right at 27. So that's my suggestion for if I can get
that
on.
Ominous age, like Jim Morrison, like Janis Joplin, like Jimi Hendrix, all at age 27. Interesting.
Yeah, and it continued. Okay, next subject.
Yeah.
There's a thing, and you may have to actually go on the podcast for this because this is a great big long title, but I'm going to give it to you. What is a suspended net pot non-circulating hydroponics rig? Is what I'll call it. And the answer is it's something that lets you grow plants in your home without electricity, you know, without having to pump water. It'll take care of itself.
Right.
And I just heard about that today, and it is out there. And so I'm going to learn about that. I'm going to hopefully find some people who know how to do that. I've never done that. I lived on a ranch from ages, roughly 10 to 19. And so I know what it requires to live a life like that, but hey, I live here, and you know, I don't have a whole bunch of land right now. You know, maybe in the future I will. You know, I might change my mind and go get some. But at the
meantime,
it's a
good economy. You can buy some land. See, that's what I'm talking about. We need a good economy to get ready to prep to buy the things that we need. No one's born a freaking millionaire, right? So we need the money and the time to buy what we need.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not.
You
if
prove
you
my
become
point.
One now, they're gonna. Yeah, if you become one now, they're gonna inflation the money out from under you. So the problem is,
that's right.
And they keep talking about how we need to keep taxing people and looking at everything they spend. So yeah, at least the best thing to do right now is to at least convert whatever money you do have on the side. Don't leave it in an account. Don't leave it in a CD. I'm deciding when and where I want to get completely out of dollar-based accounting, and you know, just to handle things on my own. Because it looks to me like it'd be the safer way to go. You've heard of, like, you know, off-grid electricity. Now we're talking off-grid food. You might need some off-grid money. And you better get that now before everything's on the grid or on a blockchain or anything like that. Okay, now next.
Silver and gold, baby. Silver and gold.
So, yeah, and so speaking of golden, I told you last week I was going to be teaching in a school, and within 2 weeks we were going to get over 84%. I did it in 1 week. It's at 82%. I went from 44% attendance to 86.2. I'm going to hold that. I'm going to add two more classes and keep it going. And but all on the same day. I'm not going all in back to chess. I'm going to pack in 100 kids in a day, which I said I would, and we'll prove that one on Tuesday. And when I call the BGG show, I can tell you I may not have slept. I may have been from the night before all the way through over 24 hours. It's not going to – I know how to do that. I'm a polo pony when I'm doing stuff I love to do. Okay, final comment, Ali. I think that we'll be talking about a little bit more. Harrison H. Smith on InfoWars got off the best gut I've heard all month. An obese black Rutgers University woke feminazi instructor gets on and starts telling the world how – she sees it or it or whatever it is. And she's literally telling you, that we need to get rid of all those white guys, but I have to do it in a special way because I have a soul, and I would hate to have that thing go south on me. Right? I'd hate to have a soul like hate me for what I did. Yeah, so how do you plan on killing off another race and saying you're not a hater? How do you plan on doing
that?
Well,
it's white genocide. It's white genocide. It's what they've talked about. They're talking to that openly in your face, America. They have a war against the white heterosexual males of this country, and they make no bones about it. None.
Right. But
and they come out with this crap. And they wonder why we're buying arms. Y'all figure.
Here's someone who's supposedly educated, because those are the people I like to target. I know there's going to be people out there, like, you know, some guy today actually looked at me, hey, Big Doug, and I just ignored him. Because, you know, number one, that's not my name. Number two, I think that's his name.
Sure.
And I don't talk to people named Big Doug. I don't think so. So I just left him alone, because I knew that was going to be a bad conversation. And, you know, and he's like, oh, you're ignoring me. It's like, dude, you're ignoring me by calling me Big Dog. But anyway, so this crazy feminazi is literally saying that whites have always had this, you know, it's always been dominator versus dominated when they've had control and they don't want to give it up. And the answer is she is so out of touch. So what Harrison Smith did was he started going back in history when peoples discovered other peoples in their native lands and found out they were far more barbaric than they were. And these are the conquerors freaking out. For example, the Romans went into Scandinavia, and they ran into a bunch of different peoples down there, and they were all just absolutely crazy. Probably the worst of it was the Gauls. And then he actually submitted a page out of a book from Equatorial Africa in the 1880s, where the people that were coming in there, who are white and privileged, but they were absolutely blown away that the economic common in Equatorial Africa, which was not white at all, in fact, you couldn't find one. They'd probably be all dead at that time. But literally, you would trade jewelry for slaves. You would pay your dowry to get a white for slaves, you know, with slaves. Slaves were the economic unit, like we call a dollar today. And so they're trying to say, oh, that's white privilege. The answer is whites weren't there when that subject was invented, okay? But
that's
whites stumbled into this, kind of fell into it, which they're guilty of, but the whole world was doing it, and then they were the first one to say, you know what, this isn't working. We don't like the concept of slavery. Some of us didn't. And so we're the ones that fought so hard to get out of it. And, you know, if you remember correctly, in the Civil War, I quoted you that 6%, I think it was, maybe less, of all the patricians that could have owned slaves actually owned any slaves, but 78% of the blacks did. They had less slaves, but anyone who could did, because it was part of the lifestyle they knew when they left where they were at before they came here. And America decided we didn't want that. We decided that was not a cool way to go. Unfortunately, I think the 14th Amendment made us all slaves by dictation, by calling us citizens, you know, belonging to the state.
That's right. They want every American now to be a slave to the New World Order, to the government cabal. They want every American to be a slave. They give us a comfortable lifestyle, but for many Americans, it is a form of slavery, and they like their chains. But slavery, like I said earlier on, Irish, is going on around the world, literally. And the dumbest thing this country ever did, one of the dumbest things ever in my book, is have that damn Civil War where Lincoln killed 1.2 million white people in the country that could have had families and lineage. And that's why I'm against – we don't need another Civil War in this country. We're against that.
Right.
However,
having
said that, what we do need is a revolution in thought. We do need a revolution in the country in the sense of – we need people to not fight against each other, which is what the elite want us to do. See, they want us to kill each other as part of their satanic blood ritual sacrifice. I say, screw that idea. And that also kills lots of white people that they also want to get rid of. It's a kind of a twofer for them. I say, let's get our politics straight. Let's self-balkanize. Because the government always overplays their hand. You don't have to accelerate anything. And folks, don't do anything crazy. Just interject your Irish. There was a guy on the plane. I just have to mention this. who I think broke the jaw or you know, really beat a flight attendant. Now, does some deserve it? Jokingly, maybe, but no. The thing is, if you're on these flights, don't do anything crazy. All you're going to do is end up in jail or get killed. And if you end up in jail and get killed, you're of no use to us. We need you all alive and thriving. We need all hands on deck, especially now. So especially, and don't go to D.C. Don't drive around in a pickup truck with guns and arms. Are you kidding me? That's a hostile work environment if I ever saw one. They hate you there in D.C. If you're a white guy, do not drive around. Another guy last week was driving around in a pickup truck. It's full of federales. They're going to pull you over. I said again, if you don't work there, and if you aren't a minority, and if you aren't on a Smithsonian tour group that can be verified, don't go there. Go to the Smithsonian, look at some museums, have your lunch, and get the F out, because you're not welcome there, especially if you're a white male. Carry on, Irish.
Well, last time I was in D.C., I wanted to get some comedy in, so I went to the FCC office. That's where I found most of it. You know, did a little research on things, because you know how much I know about radio stations and the like. So for me, yeah, I went completely nerdy, trivial, learned a lot of things that later on I used. Actually, somebody tried to get me into radio sales and I didn't like their style. So he said, I'm going to fire you at the end of the month. I said, give me one day to do it my way. And I got everybody to say, wow, if I could use your product, you would have sold me right here, but I just can't use your product. And so my knowledge of radio is what got over. And by the way, that was the guy who handled Elvis, Colonel Parker, that actually was in charge of the sales in Vegas. Wow. So it was kind of interesting. I was working with him at that time. But, yeah, didn't get along. So tying this back to the Harrison Smith thing, where you've got this obese Black Rutgers University woke feminazi instructor telling everybody how the cow's supposed to eat the cabbage, and then you tie into that with the latest thing by the United Nations actually making up this supposedly extinct dinosaur, telling us we're stupid for allowing climate change. So all he had to do was tie that together. He said the following quote, and I'm still laughing, look for the crater where that thing landed. He's talking about that instructor. Look for the crater where it landed. And I just, I almost fell on the floor laughing. It's like, yeah, that's probably
true. Yeah, that's
true.
Funny.
It's an alien. It has no idea where it's living. It has no idea what it's talking about. And it's promoted to the point where it's attempting to teach university students, and they have to be dumbed down so they can understand how dumb this instructor really is. I mean, it's not the other way around. Yeah, they're not trying to teach a bunch of dumb people. They're trying to take a bunch of people who are actually brainwashable and try to take them the rest of the way over their edge with their own insanity. And I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. At some point, you're going to have to include – you want to balkanize? Balkanize your education. Get out of the system that is being, you know, 90-plus percent now funded by the federal government, because you know that's exactly where they're going to take you. And so you need to find private – I recommend very highly parochial colleges. Those were the big kicker. When I first got here and started teaching chess, it was the Catholic schools that were leading everybody. We're talking 97% graduation and 90-plus percent moving on to college, 83% were moving on in something very important, like, you know, high math skills and stuff like that. They were beating European and Indian schools at the time. And then Bill Gates moved in and bribed the Catholic board, you know, with a whole bunch of money. Saying, if you take this, we can – and they took the money. You know, they – and that's what happened. And I was there during the time in those schools teaching when they did that, and I saw how the curriculum fell apart. And, you know, I mean, I took the Catholic schools because I wanted to do the call to protect. I wanted to be kind of a white hat mini hero, you know, going into schools and teaching kids.
Right.
But it was the curriculum that was defying them, you know, not some pedophile somewhere. And that was going to come decades later. And that's where we're at now.
Right.
I mean, I go to college and I speak out against same-sex marriage, right? And everybody thought I'd take the usual tack. Well, 20 years later, the usual tack is real now. They were saying, well, you know, once two men can marry each other then. It could be man and dog, man and building, man and rock, man and computer. All of that has been done now. All of it.
Right.
Somebody in Seattle tried to marry a building. You know, all that kind of stuff. That's all happened.
Oh, I
know. That was 15 years ago.
It's ridiculous. 15
years ago.
Irish, thank you so much for calling the show. You're on a roll. I love it, man.
I just
have a great night, Irish.
Be careful what it is they said they wanted, my final statement. Careful what it is they said they want it, because you haven't stopped them just by saying, I don't want to play a part in it. You're going to have to keep trying to step around those nuclear puddles. So let's stay with God as our focus, and that way we won't step in those nasty puddles.
Amen, brother. Irish pirate folks from the heartland of Arizona and America. And we're going to get on Lincoln from Flyover Country next. Can't wait to hear his report. He's got a great blog on Telegram called Base Truth. And then we'll get on Brett the Surfer if he's going to be around for a while. And get a drink. I need a shot of bourbon after hearing all these great calls and all the reality and real politics coming out tonight. Let me light up my cigar and get a shot of something. I shall return, I guarantee it. Famous song from World War II from the Germanic side. Let's get to Lincoln. How are you doing tonight, brother? How are you feeling? What's going on? What's on your mind, man?
I'm doing well tonight, brother.
I thought you'd like
doing,
that
man?
Song.
Doing all right out there?
Good, good.
Yeah, I did like that song.
We're doing good in Arizona.
Erica,
we're strong.
Yeah. It wasn't quite Erica, but I liked it a lot. It's one I haven't heard before.
I thought I would mix it up for you a little bit tonight. Yeah. For your intro song.
No, I like well,
so what's
I,
going
I'm
on, my
really
friend?
I'm really into songs like that, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
me
I,
too. I
I'm
love the songs
like
that.
you and Kat had a fantastic conversation tonight. So I'm not gonna go too hard on you on that front, brother. Oh yeah, you guys had a fantastic conversation. In my opinion, your monologue I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Was probably one of my favorite monologues you ever gave. To be honest with you, you've had several that I like, but that was probably in my top three, maybe five, something like that. You just kind of went for
They're
it.
Always different.
Said how it is. And then, I like it. Now, my thoughts kind of changed while I was on hold. My thoughts kind of changed in the sense that, one thing that you and Kat agreed on, which is that you're a historian like I am, so I think you'll get what I'm saying here. You guys both agree. I'm not going to hammer this or focus on this. I told you I won't do that. But you guys agreed that, the words Judeo-Christian is pretty much an oxymoron?
Yes.
Right?
I've always said that,
okay.
Yes.
Well, since you're a historian like I am and are very familiar with that time period, so is the term feminazi. That's also very much an oxymoron.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they use it really as feminist / Nazi, and that's really a slur, right? So it's not really feminine. When they say that, they really mean feminist Nazi. In other words, your average militant Western woman in America
right?
We have a lot of militant people over here, right?
That's our communist Jewish training we've received over the years, as we want to call them. Feminazis, which is that is not what it is. It's if you want to call it anything, call it femicommunists. And who are the
I totally agree.
In the world?
Lincoln, I totally agree with you. And I've always felt that also was they use Nazi for everything, right? You see these MAGA guys go, oh, you're being a Nazi. They never use the word communist because they're brainwashed not to ever speak ill of communism or Bolshevism, right? It's always Nazi.
Man,
I've always noticed that too. And it's all part of the pre-programming and the brainwashing.
It goes
go
hard
ahead.
On that breath, brother. Like back in my group, back when I was part of the Proud Boys and things like that, it used to like just really irritate the living shit out of me when I would go to like all these like quote-unquote right-wing rallies. There was nothing right-wing about them, honestly, but at the time I thought there was. But one thing did kind of strike a chord with me I didn't understand, which was like, we'd go there and, the one good thing I got out of the Proud Boys was I loved fighting with Antifa. That was fun. But, like, they would literally hold a fucking communist flag in, like, literally holding Che Guevara shirts with a communist flag in the air. And I got a bunch of quote-unquote right-wingers, MAGA guys around me. It's like, look at these fucking Nazis. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're literally waving a communist flag in front of you. And you're calling them Nazis. What is wrong with you?
Another cringeworthy moment. Cringeworthy. And, yeah, you're on the battlefield. And here's the thing that you're... Your brethren there, they were fighting against the Antifa thugs, have the wrong ideology. And I tell people, you got to get your ideology straight. In other words, don't call things a Nazi that are not a Nazi. Call things a communist that are a communist. The Nazis were the checkmate to communism.
You're literally calling them the one thing in the world that was the only successful thing to date that I know of that successfully stopped them until certain things happened. The United States got involved, things like that. Up until that point, that's pretty much the only thing to modern day that I'm aware of that actually put communism in its place and stopped it. But we're going to accuse
that right.
group of being communist. It's like so fucking backwards and weird, and it's just crazy. I don't get it.
I agree. That's why that's exactly why Lincoln, I used to laugh on the, I would always, be on the social media, weekend mornings. And I tell folks, I don't really take calls till noon. And I'd be up early with my pot of coffee laughing at what people would call this stuff. And just looking at, you know, video, and these are well-meaning, again, well-intentioned people, not impugning their intent, you know, their meaning or how nice these people were, but they have their political facts all wrong. And this is why I said on my show many, many times, America is politically ignorant. I'm not saying they're not nice people.
Absolutely.
They could have a PhD, but they're politically ignorant of a lot of things. They do not know politics 101. They do not know history 101. This is a failure of our – well, it's just a deep rabbit hole we could spend hours talking about. But most Americans, you know, they could have a great job. They could be in a nice suburb. They could, you know, drive a nice car. But when it gets to politics, Americans have been brainwashed. You shouldn't look at that. You shouldn't study that. That's hate speech. That's, you know, you should be watching our Hollywood sitcoms, getting fat, taking the COVID shot, eating your slice of pizza and your burrito, and you should be overweight, and you should not work out, and we want you dumbed down. And you should go to work, pay your taxes, and shut the F up. That's what they want. And that's why we see that in the school boards, where these parents are getting educated. They're going into the local school boards going, how dare you try to change the sex of my kid or try to put a shot in their arm. F you. And the school boards are like, oh, they're calling the FBI. Literally, FBI called those parents domestic terrorists. How dare you?
Yep.
Take what they say. What they're saying is, how dare you speak your mind? You're supposed to be a peasant and a serf in our new Bolshevik system, and we don't want to hear from you. And they flat out said that. We don't want to hear from you. If you come, you can be arrested for your free speech rights. Sure. That's where we're headed. And I say bravo to the parents.
You're absolutely right.
For challenging these school boards that are all leftists and Marxists. But yeah, that's the snapshot of America, Lincoln. Go ahead, man.
I think a lot of that comes from the teachers' unions, which have a lot of power over the school boards, things like that. I don't think a lot of I respect the living shit out of the fact that a lot of parents are getting involved and fighting back, especially moms, believe it or not, are fighting back and saying don't mess with our kids. I respect the hell out of that. I don't think a lot of them realize the uphill battle they're facing, which is they're fighting against a lot of money, the mainstream media, the power structures that be, with teachers unions, things like that. Good luck to them all. I hope they get there, as long as they don't say things like feminazi.
Right. I know, man. I'm with you. I understand you 1,000%. I feel the same way. It's really funny, and you and I can agree on this, when you see a guy that goes, I'm a proud conservative, and they're wearing the red MAGA hat, right? And they go, we shouldn't act like Antifa. We shouldn't act like those Nazis over there because we're for MAGA. It's like sheep. MAGA. They all go, we're MAGA. And I used to look, I mean, they literally do that. It's weird, dude. It's weird. They go, MAGA. And I'm going, why are you guys all saying this in unison? It's kind of creepy. Kind of creeps me out. First of all, I'm all for MAGA. If we can get the economy, I'm all about, like, I'm an economic guy, you know, and I'm an ideologue, and I'm a political guy, and I love to see Americans doing well. I love it because I know if they're doing well, they're buying guns and ammo, they're buying ranches, they're buying land, they're getting stronger, in other words. I want Americans to be so strong that our government or any hostile enemy would never attack them. I'm like Reagan, peace through strength, baby. The stronger we are, they're going to You know, fear is a powerful motivator. And if they're fearful of us,
well,
which they should be, I'm just saying,
well,
it helps.
You know
that you're not
having a difference with Ronald Reagan.
Well, right, but what I'm invoking is Reagan's common thread was peace through strength. And again, like I told folks back in the 80s, that was conservative. That was, remember, we came from the crazy 1960s and the disco 70s. So in 1980, when Reagan hit the scene, you and I can look back in our time capsule and look at how moderate Reagan was and how tame he was. Sure. But at the time, he was radical. I remember. I was there.
At the time, I'll give,
he
I'll
was
give you that.
Radical.
At the time, I'll give you that. I'll give you that for the time.
Reagan was
considered a
radical right-wing president, and that's why they shot him. Don't forget they shot him. They tried to kill him because they felt he was so radical, going against their agenda. And they had him shot.
That's bad when that's bad.
Another
when
inside
extremely
job.
Extremely moderate guy is considered an extremer. That's the open the window. Dude. That's how far the open the window has shifted, which is like a guy like an absolute moderate like
that's
Reagan.
Right.
You know, who bombed Gaddafi for starting to, you know, trying to get away from the banking system and creating his own currency, so he gets bombed for it. But yet we consider him a radical. But at the time, I will give you the fact that, yes, at that time, as far as mainstream politics, yes, I will give you the fact that he was considered the modern-day Trump, the radical, the bull
yes,
in the china shop, things like that. I'll give you that.
Yes, he was. Yeah, because that is accurate, and I like to stay factual and accurate. And yeah, now I can look back on Reagan and say, man, what a, you know, he had the Amnesty Act and all. Yeah, we can look back now, but at the time, you know, he was the radical thing. Lincoln, thank you so much for calling the show, buddy. We're up against the clock here. I'd love to talk some more, but I will chime in on your group too on Telegram, buddy. Love that.
Hey, if you got time, if you got just a couple minutes, man, I got two more things I'd like to say.
Sure.
Your opening monologue, you got off into, you were talking about the USS Liberty. One thing, I'm sure you're aware of this, but if some of your callers may not be or some of your listeners may not be, but on to build upon the USS Liberty, which you're absolutely correct about, 100%, have you ever heard of the Levon Affair?
Yes.
If someone doesn't know what that is, it's a Levon Affair. And basically what that is where the Jewish intelligence agency, or the Israeli, my bad, the Israeli intelligence agency planted bombs in American and British cinemas, theaters, schools,
that's
things
right.
like that, to kill Americans and British people and blame it on Egyptians to get us into a war with Egypt and blame it on Egypt to get us into a war with Egypt. Not a whole lot
different
than
right.
the USS Liberty thing, which is destroy it, you know, and then blame it on someone else to get us involved in the war. So if someone's not familiar with the Levon Affair, just Google it. DuckDuckGo, whatever you want to use, just look it up, Levon Affair.
Right.
Yeah. And
again, these are facts, folks. These are facts that Lincoln speaks of. The Mossad motto, I'll reiterate, by way of deception, thou shalt make war, was one of their, again, is now they change it now a little bit and say through wise advice, you shall make war. Either way, they're making war, no matter how you slice it or dice it. So what they want to drag America into their problems. Okay. So just fact. What's your second point?
The last thing I want to say, I know you're hard pressed on time, so I'll keep it short. I just want to say thank you for letting people have a voice and get their message on air. And I very much enjoy. I've been listening to your show now for a year and a half. I enjoy it a lot, man. I encourage people to listen to it. I enjoy it a lot, and I very much look forward to having you in my Telegram channel voice. Well, not my Telegram channel, but the Telegram channel that I focus on, back into that voice chat, because I very much like talking to you off the air, man. It was I had a lot of fun with that, man. It was a good talk. I enjoyed it a lot.
That was a really good night. And Lincoln, you're a friend of the show and a big supporter, and we're friends on and off here. So I appreciate you saying those things, man. I love your base truth thing. And I look, this is a platform. We will talk about anything is fair game on the show. So thank you so much, Lincoln. Have a great night, bud. Talk to you soon, man.
Hey, brother. Hell victory, brother.
Hell victory, Lincoln. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Yeah, folks, nothing's off the table. As in politics, as in war, as in love and war, it's all fair, right? Anything is game, right? And we don't have much time. I will. Brett's been holding now for about an hour. We'll get Brett the Surfer on here for a brief moment. We're in official overtime, Brett. You made it. How are you doing, man?
Hey, Vaughn. How are you, man? Yeah.
Hey, we're doing good.
Yeah, man. I'm just loving life, you know, living the dream. And, it was a sad loss for the Cardinals, man, tonight. But on the other hand, it's just pretty crazy out there, man, with this new bill that Biden's, it's $1.75 trillion, if that goes through, and it's I don't know, man, it's pretty scary, with this situation.
It is.
Just watching the markets and what the housing seems to be doing, and with the supply shortages coming today. I was at a store. I just went to pick up a couple toothbrushes, and they were, most of them were all gone. And a lot of the toothpaste too. It was interesting. So I'm starting to notice some shortages, you know, and,
well, people are hoarding now, man. They're hoarding stuff. And, you know, I told everyone, hey, this show has been a beacon of light. We're five steps ahead of everybody. I tell people years ago, get ready, start prepping, start preparing. I saw all this coming, brother. I did. I have a sixth sense about these things, man.
Yeah, and you know, it's I picked up a little extra each time I hit a store, you know, because I never
you
know.
Should.
You know, I mean, it could happen real fast, you know. I mean, it takes, I believe, 3 days, I don't know, 3 days for the shelves to be entirely cleaned out. You know, it might even be faster than that. Just depends, you know.
I know.
You know,
you got to
so
be ready. You
got to
be ready for anything.
Yeah, and it's you know, and it's kind of, you know, like I said, I've always said it's even more surreal, you know, every day just hearing the news and what's going on. And on the other hand, you know, you see this Alec Baldwin and the shooting. It's all over the news. I don't know if you've heard, but that photographer, an award-winning cinematographer, her next documentary was going to be about Hollywood pedophiles, you know. And isn't that interesting that, you know, well, why did that gun have a live round in it, you know? And you know.
I'll say this, Brett, what a great cover for a murder. Think about it. You're on a movie set. You have a prop gun, a famous actor. There's venom there. There's, like you said, her documentary about Hollywood pedophilia. Would the Hollywood Illuminati set up conditions where it was so murky that they could kill her and get away with it, maybe? And I would even go so far as to say, well, I would go so far as to say, look, we don't know what really happened. Was there a sniper on the set? Now, Alec Baldwin maybe never really shot her. There's all kinds of theories out there about this. There's all kinds of theories. They're crazy theories and why was the bullet, if Alec did, actually was the shooter, and I'm sure he was, per all the media reports, why was there a bullet in there? Who put it in there?
Yeah.
So a lot of weird things are surrounding that movie set, my friend. And also the term Rust.
Yeah.
Weird name for a cowboy western movie, Rust. I mean, when I think of Rust, I think of a rusty old car, not a western. To me, that's a strange. I think there's more meaning in that movie title that I'm trying to uncover. Does Rust stand for something? RUST. I'm trying to think of an anagram or an acronym. Don't know, but I'm going to look into that as well. But it is strange, man. Strange set of circumstances, you know.
Especially to be so negligent. I mean, they were out target shooting with the same guns, I think, a day before. I mean, I don't know. It just it gets crazier and crazier. You know, it is almost like a script. Like a script has been made up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is that to get your attention off of other things, you know? I don't know. A lot of strange things going on. You know, these are definitely, you know, surreal times. And, you know, we just have
to. They are, man. Crazy times. And don't turn your back on Alec Baldwin ever. It's my best advice to America.
it's interesting.
On that note.
Anti-gun, you know. You know,
Brett, on that note, have a great night, my friend. Surf
right,
those
brother.
Waves, man. And
I will,
call in every
man,
week, and we'll get you on the air, my friend. Love it.
All right, man. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy. Brett the Surfer, folks. And next week, I promise to have your surf music ready. Folks, we've had a great show tonight. You've heard a lot of calls. We're in official overtime. We're about to end the show, but I will leave you with this. People have been getting ready for years, and we've heard, you know, of course, last winter on January the 6th. We don't, you know, that was a fabricated thing, I think, by our own government. Many people believe that, too. There was arrests, shootings, and harsh treatment of prisoners since then. Did you know that they're still in solitary confinement, many of those people? There's a lot of evil going on in the world today on all sides. And we want everything, we want people to do well. We want our economy to do well so you can prep and get ready and do things of that nature. Our reach is great. We're all over the nation and around the world. And look, we are here for you. This is your platform and your show. Nothing's off the table. We're so glad you're here tonight. We are living through perilous times, my friends. But the good news, the hope of a new dawn is that we will survive, because if you listen to this show, well, we're 5'10 steps ahead of the enemy and of the rank and file. The masses may be asses, but on our show, we are the radio elite. The very existence, I would say, of our precious republic is on the line and is in our hands. We will not let her down. We will not let Lady Liberty fall. This should be the shining city on the hill once again. We hope we are living through tough times, harsh times for many, but we pray for all, and we hope that everyone will keep God in their lives and that we can live better days ahead, and that we will have many, many, many more of them as well. Thank you all for listening to the show tonight. I broadcast from my mountain stronghold here in the mountains of Arizona. I would bid you all farewell. Have a wonderful week. Be safe. Call the show when you can. And good night from my bunker.
Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, shotgun. superhuman. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to